Church, God is so good. I'm so thankful today, tonight, to be here. And this is our Thanksgiving Eve service. I remember when we used to have Thursday night services. How many of you remember back when we had Thursday night services and we would have Thanksgiving? My father insisted on having a Thanksgiving night service, which was okay. But it was hard because you would stuff yourself at dinner and come to church, and whatever that chemical is that's in turkey that makes you tired, it would just, the congregation would just be like vegetating out there. It was usually the Manleys, Sister Jan. I think the Hiddesdorfs would be here, but it was a pretty slim crowd. And anyway, you could be seated. Oh, God is so good. We have a special Thanksgiving tonight. Usually the last few years we've had kind of testimonials, and I've enjoyed that. I just thought I would do a little something a little different this evening. And as we inch closer and closer to Thanksgiving, you may be here and you may have something cooking already at home, or maybe your plans are to get up in the morning and early like mine are. And I've got three turkeys to smoke tomorrow, and I'll be up early getting them started. But I'm just thankful. I've heard it said that one of the greatest acts of faith that you could ever perform is to simply say, "Oh God, no matter what, I will praise you and I will bless you and thank you for all things." And as we inch closer to Thanksgiving, the more reminders that we see to give thanks to are there. And maybe right now it's harder. As you sit here tonight, it's harder than ever to find that something that you are thankful for. There's a lot of negativity in our world today. There's a lot of negativity going around, and a lot of people are in despair. People are frustrated. And so tonight, perhaps, maybe you're asking, what do I really have that I can give thanks for? Now, it's rough because I don't know how many of you had to walk to church tonight. Did anybody walk to church tonight? When you leave here, does anybody you don't have a home to go to? Don't have shelter? When I look at all of these things, I begin to think about all of the things that we just get spoiled by. You just think about this, all right? We could go out in our vestibule and we could take and we could fill water jugs all day and all night long. And for the next 10 years, we could fill water jugs and never run out of fresh water. So many people in our world today, and we don't think about this, but over half our world's population doesn't have access to or struggles to find access to just fresh drinking water. And you know, we could get ours imported all the way in from Fiji. Actually, I use this bottle and I just keep refilling it at the fountain out there in the vestibule. But we look at all of these things. What do we have to be thankful for? And I just put down, I've got three simple things. I want to thank God for his providence. And what I mean by that is I want to thank God for who God is. And when you come into a relationship with God, everything that happens is good. He does all things for his purpose, for our good. And Romans 8:28 says, and we've had this scriptures popped up a lot in services and in some of our God's Word for Life Bible studies on Sunday mornings. In Romans chapter 8, 28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." Once we were saved, no matter what happens to us, we can write Romans 8, 28 all over it. It's like the graffiti people, they go out and they tag buildings and cars and everything else. We can take our own little graffiti pen and everything that happens to us, we can tag it with Romans 8, 28. We can put it all over it, all things. The truth of God's providence tells us otherwise. For one thing, providence means that not only is He governing and directing all things, we have to understand that our God sustains all things. I recently watched an interesting scientific discussion on the internet, on social media, on YouTube, and it was a group of scientists, and they were talking about how that in approximately 1.4 billion years, the earth is going to be destroyed because the sun will run out of its energy. And they were trying to figure, this is just mind-boggling, they're trying to figure out what can we do today to help this. And some of the panelists, people were asking questions and said, what can we do to fix this? 1.4 billion years from now. Well, the problem is that God sustains all things. And when God tells the sun to stop burning because it's no longer needed, it's going to stop burning. Hebrews 1:3 tells us that God upholds the universe by the word in His power. Nehemiah 9:6 says, God not only created all things, but He preserves all things. We have to understand, if the Lord were to stop sustaining the existence of the world, everything that we know would immediately vanish into nothingness. It came from nothing. God spoke it into existence. He says, let there be light, and there was light. I thank God. I thank God for His power. I thank God for His authority. I thank God for his providence. The universe does not continue on its own power. The very fact that He sustains everything, including our ordinary lives and decisions, mean that there is value to these things. This value, of course, does not come finally from us. Rather than the value is found in how God works all things together for His good and His glory, and how He weaves everything together in His sovereign plan for our lives. As Romans 11:36 expresses, for from Him and through Him and to Him are all things, but to Him be glory forever. Amen. So God's governance and God's and substance work themselves out in the comparatively little things in life. Now, we're going to leave here tonight, and some of you are going to have turkey for dinner tomorrow, and some of you are going to have ham. Maybe some of you are going to go just totally off the charts and say, you know what, we're going to do lasagna for Thanksgiving. Whatever you want to do, that's up to you. Our selection of plants that we plant in our front yards, our preference for football, whether it's the 49ers is our favorite team, go Pastor Peter, or the Packers. I just had to get that in because last time we got beat pretty bad. But you know, when you look at the football over baseball, our decision to take a scenic route and not a more direct highway, everything is ultimately governed and directed by God and thus has value in His plan. And the truth is not meant to to cause us to struggle or paralyze us. We're not going to cause God's kingdom to go off the rails because you're having turkey and not having ham. I've had people come to me and they talk about, well, God told me I'm supposed to do this and I'm supposed to eat this or that or the other and you know it's not sinful or inherently unrighteous to eat turkey or ham on Thanksgiving. Nevertheless, God's providence operates in extraordinary manners to bring about His plan. He controls things in everyday matters. I'm so thankful that I have a God that is a personable God. We read in Jeremiah gets into this in his book, and we're not going to get into this in great detail tonight, but Jeremiah 23, verses 23 and 24, not just in the sense that he's everywhere present with creation, but that he is present in and through the events of his creation and the decisions of his creatures. That means you and I. God wants to be a part of our everyday lives. He remains distinct from these things, but we have to understand that his hand is upholding all these things and directing them as he works out not only some things, but as he works out all things according to the counsel of his will. I'm just thankful that God cares about my everyday affairs. I'm thankful that he's a God of providence, but I'm also thankful that he's a God of purpose. The world out there can be a real jungle, a wilderness at times, and it is God's plan that we walk through it. Do you understand that? It's God's plan that we walk through it, not that we somehow escape it. God leads us through the wilderness on purpose, first to humble us, and then to prove us, and then to strengthen us. So if you're going through a wilderness in your life right now, it just may be that God is trying to humble you, or maybe God is trying to prove you, cause you to mature, and to strengthen you. So I thank the Lord for his purpose. And leading us through life is what helps to mature us. If God took care of every little obstacle and he fought every battle for us, we would never learn how to stand on our own. It's just like as a parent with your children. If you never allowed your children to get hurt, you protected your children so much that you didn't ever wanted them to get a cut or a scrape or a burn. You're doing your children great disservice by not letting them crash from time to time on their bicycles or falling off that skateboard from time to time. There's lasting purpose in our circumstances, and nothing happens randomly. There is lasting purpose in our relationships, even when they don't go as we had hoped they would go. There's lasting purpose in our work, from the lowest of the unpaid to the highest of pay. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, he says, Lord, teach me. Well, this is Apostle Paul, and we've been doing a lot of studying from his writings in the book of Philippians. But here he's talking to the church in Thessalonica, the Thessalonians. He said, Lord, teach me to offer you a heart of thanksgiving and praise in all my daily experiences of life. Teach me to be joyful always. That is a struggle at times, isn't it? Many of you know I struggle with some health issues. I was laughing tonight with Brother Devin out in the vestibule, and How's it going, Pastor? Well, you know, I feel like one of those old airplanes that when it takes off, you know, it's got enough systems functioning to get you off the ground. There's a number of systems. I was reading about this. I'm a history buff, okay? I was reading about the B-52 airplane the other day. It's a huge airplane, came into existence back in the 1950s. And the men that are flying the airplane today are, the airplane is much older than them. And the Pentagon wants to keep the planes flying all the way up to 2050. So that means it would have been a 100-year lifespan for these big, huge bombers. And one of the pilots was making reference to taking off, and he said, very seldom do we ever take off with all systems go. That means there's always something that's not working, but it gets us in the air, and it flies, and it gets us back home. And sometimes I feel as we get older, that's how my body feels. It's enough to get me there and enough to get me home. But and Paul says to be thankful that you have some of these issues, all of these daily experiences of life. Teach me to be joyful always, to pray continually, and to give thanks in all my circumstances. I accept them as your will for my life. I thank God for his purpose. I thank God for the ups and the downs. I thank God for the battles that I've had to fight. And sometimes we don't understand why until afterwards, and we see how God has strengthened us and made us stronger. And the last point I want to make tonight is I thank God for his presence. I thank him for his providence. I thank him for his purpose. And I thank him for his presence. Reflecting back on my life, I can see the omnipotent, omnipresent nature of God in everything I see. I love nature. I love to get out and travel. I love to take the, much to my wife's frustration at times, I love to take the roads less traveled. We have a Jeep that we tow behind our camper, our motorhome, and we get out into Colorado and Wyoming, and I've driven that Jeep places that I didn't think I could take a Jeep. But I like to get off the beaten path, and I like to look around. And when you're out in the mountains and you're surrounded by 14,000-foot peak mountains and you can't see anyone and you can't see any building or any structure as far as you can see, all you see is God. All you see is nature. God created all of this. He created it for his desire, for his liking. I was praying the other day and just kind of talking with God, and I was sitting in my office. I said, Lord, it's a shame that someday all of this is going to be destroyed. Someday when the rapture takes place and God creates the new heavens and new earth, and I don't know what all that means, and I'm assuming that all of this is going to just burn up and it's going to be gone. I don't really know, but I look around and I look at some of the beautiful things in nature. And I say, Lord, it's a shame because this is so beautiful. And I can look out and from nature to people. You look at people and everybody's so different. Everyone here is so beautifully different. Beauty has a whole different meaning to God than it has to humanity. We look at the outside. God looks at everything. God's saying, this creature, this is beautiful. This has my stamp of approval. So when I look at it from nature to people, I look at relationships. My wife and I, we go out to eat often, and there's an elderly couple that we see at a number of different restaurants. I've seen them at Perkins over on the interstate. I've seen them at the Nook restaurant in Cottage Grove. And the other day I went to McDonald's, because I don't know how many of you know this or not, but the McRib is back. It's in season. You may not like, Lori doesn't, I'm telling by the look on her face, she doesn't like the McRib. I love McRibs. So does Jessica Rivest. I went because I'm like, hey, I can go get a McRib. And I saw this elderly couple there. I saw him come in. And he took, they had to be, I'm guessing, in their mid-80s. And, man, he opened the door for her when she got out of the car. She's just a little short lady. And he gets to the door, and he opens, and he takes her in, and he escorts her. You would think they were at a five-star dining establishment. He escorts her to the seat, and he sits her down in the booth, goes and gets her drink, brings it to her, a straw and the napkins, and brings out, they both got a McDouble and order of fries, and it's just like two little teenagers sitting there on a date. It was so cute, and I looked at that, and I thought, Lord, I'm so thankful for relationships that I have. I'm so thankful for my wife. My wife is just an awesome lady, and I love her, and I appreciate her, and she's always with me, and God is always with me. You know, we have to say, as Bishop used to say, if God be for me, then everybody else might as well be. So how can we lose, when we look at this, our relationship with God, with his presence, how can we lose with God? He gives me breath, I breathe, and to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Each day I'm filled with mindfulness and his peace, knowing that he'll finish the work that he started in me. I'm incredibly thankful for this. At times of joy and success, his presence is like a warm, we have a fireplace in our house, and I just love it. Throw another log on the fire when it gets cold, and or I could go and sit outside on my back porch and feel the sun rays coming in. His presence is so warm, like a radiant sunlight that fills my soul with just such immense gratitude of thankfulness. I celebrate the victories and the blessings, understanding that they're not always solely a result of my efforts, but also a testimony of his divine grace and his love and his power as he operates and flows through our lives every day. The laughter, the love, the harmony that I experience with family and friends here at church tonight. After church, some are going to rush out, but after church, some we're going to have to ask to leave because we got to turn the lights off. Got to go home. All part of God's endless blessings. In times of challenge and adversity, his presence becomes a beacon of hope and resilience. In my life, when I find myself lost in the storms and trials of life, I experience his guidance, and as he nudges ever so gently, leading me right back onto the correct path. You see, I feel God's presence in the quiet moments of solitude. I found as I've gotten older, I love being around people, but I love being alone sometimes and just finding that solitude. I love going outside on the quiet, cool, quiet evenings this time of year. It's getting a little bit chilly. I think Thursday, Friday, or Friday, Saturday, it might be a indoor prayer walk. Getting down into the single digits almost. But I love going outside, Brother Rossing, on these cold, frigid nights, and you look up and the air is so crisp and clean. And when I look up into the skies and I see the stars, and if you focus on one spot and you just look intense, that one spot, it just seems like it just opens up, and you, it's like, I can't believe there's so many stars. God created all of this. And his presence, it just doesn't dwell inside of my heart. It doesn't just dwell in here. Brother Repke, it dwells everywhere. You can't go, as David wrote in his psalm, his poem. He says, you know, if I go into the heavens and I see God, I go to the depths of the ocean, and what do I see? But everywhere I look, I see God. I even go into the depths of hell, and God is there. God is everywhere. And I feel such a profound connection with Him. And these moments of peace and quietness and tranquility provide me with clarity and wisdom, which are signs of His divine presence around me at all times. I can look out of my house to the west and see the most beautiful sunsets that I've seen in my life have been to the west, just looking. It's just beautiful. And then I have the opportunity to look at the other side of my property. The way our property lays out, it's perfect, north, south, east, west. I can look out and I can see the sunrise, and it's so beautiful. The moonlit skies, the chirping birds, the flowers all stand as a testament of His wondrous creation. God's presence is in our lives. It's not just limited to specific moments or incidences, but it's all-encompassing. It should be a constant force that guides us and nurtures us and provides strength to our spirit. Every breath that we take, every step that we take, as we move forward, reflects His enduring love and His guidance in our lives. It's amazing, as pastor, you get to see a much broader picture at times. Sometimes it's more frustrating. Most of the time, it's just you can see how God is moving. And I sit here, and sometimes I talk to Brother Repka, and we have conversations about how God is and God is moving. And then Grandma Powell, that's what we're going to call you forever, you know that. And the Buchholz family, and I could just go back, and I could just work my way across the whole congregation of how that God is working in all of our lives, all at the same time. He's providing that love and that guidance. And I'm so grateful, I'm so thankful for His presence right now. Right here, right now. So church, how often do we thank God for His presence? Psalms 139:7 says, I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. And in Hebrews 13:5, the writer of Hebrews says, I will never fail you and I will never abandon you. God is with us. God is with us. We hold on to your truth and put hope in these promises. If we could stand this evening and our worship team could return. On this eve of Thanksgiving, tomorrow as you gather with family and friends, thank God for His providence. Thank God for His power, His authority. And thank God for His purpose. I'm so glad that I live a life with purpose. And I'm so thankful for the presence of God in my life. I don't know what it would be like not to be able to feel God. I would never want to be there. And then we turn that thanksgiving. This is a challenge. Turn the thanksgiving into thankful living. So tonight, as we close this service out, Sister Abby just leads us in a chorus. I just want us to just lift our hands. If you want to come down to the front, you're welcome to. But before we leave tonight, I would like for us to just thank God for who God is, for His providence. Thank Him for His presence, and thank Him for His purpose in our lives. God bless you on this Thanksgiving Eve.
Who is like you, Lord, in all the earth? Matchless beauty, loving in this world. Nothing in this world can satisfy. 'Cause Jesus, you're